Gummer, Joe Rustavelli Avenue. This is FieldPod.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from Tatsminda, Tbilisi, Georgia, the jewel of the Caucasus and navel of the world. Today is Thursday, the 30th of July, 2015. On this date, in 762, Baghdad is founded by Khalifa al-Mansur. 1619, the first legislative assembly in America called the House of Burgesses convenes in Jamestown, Virginia. 1676, Nathaniel Bacon issues the Declaration of the People of Virginia, beginning Bacon's rebellion against the rule of Governor William Berkeley. Interesting phase of history, very connected with indentured servitude and slavery. 1733, the first Masonic Grand Lodge in the future United States is constituted in Massachusetts. This became a useful platform for them to eventually control the world. 1811, Father Miguel Hidalgo y Costilla, leader of the Mexican insurgency, is executed by the Spanish in Chihuahua. 1965, U.S. President Johnson signs the Social Security Act into law establishing Medicare and Medicaid. By the way, Harry Truman, who was the first president to push for national health insurance, but Congress didn't go for it, is the very first one to receive a Medicaid card at the ceremony. 1975, the summit meeting in Helsinki begins, from which the Helsinki Final Act comes. 1975, on that same day, Jimmy Hoffa, head of the U.S. Teamsters Union, disappears from a parking lot near Detroit, Michigan, at about 2:30 p.m. He's never seen or heard from again. 1976, Bruce, now Caitlyn Jenner, wins gold in the Olympic decathlon. 1980, Vanuatu gains independence. 2003, the last classic VW Beetle rolls off the assembly line in Mexico. Birthdays are writer Emily Bronte, thinker Thorsten Veblen, visionary Henry Ford, General Smedley Butler, who, by the way, if you haven't heard of him, read his short book, War is a Racket, a great book, an incredible guy, unbelievably decorated soldier. Also, birthdays, sculptor Henry Moore, guitar genius Buddy Guy, actor Jean Reno, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, and soccer player Hope Solo. I'm your host, Mark Mullen, and today we have a special guest just down from the mountains, ladies and gentlemen, William Dunmar, who is at this very moment wearing his red chocha. As
glad
ever.
To be back. Glad to be
thank
back
you.
In the chocha. It's a bit hot today. But...
yeah, it is. He's been wearing it around. He's got the cajetian hat on, the whole bit. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swieka. My Georgian Journal and Fides Politur column this week is about the Confederate flag and seeing it around Tbilisi and how that makes me feel as somebody from Texas. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. This is from another person with some whacked out pseudonym. Quote, the U.S. Embassy moved out to the Northwest Territories, the Guldani kind, or is this a jab at the Canadian? Okay, everybody knows that the Northwest Territories is a jab at the location of the U.S. Embassy. It used to be at the Orbeliani Palace, just below the Tbilisi Marriott. That was when all the U.S. Embassy staff spoke Georgian. You'd see them everywhere, and they knew everything. Then they moved out to the Northwest Territories due to the congressionally mandated setback, stopped learning Georgian, made everybody spend 10 lari to get the heck out there. Horrible. And the Canadian's embassy, by the way, or consulate really, is smack dab in the middle of town right next door.
Honorary consul.
Honorary consul, yeah. Okay, right.
Not,
yeah.
Not a real consulate.
And everybody,
they can't help you.
Right. Right. No, you should. Everybody should come to the Canadian consulate because they're handing out visas like lollipops. All right. Okay, and this from Jody, and I quote, okay, I have an excuse on Andorra. This is a deep, not dark secret, but every single time I turn on Spielpod and I fall asleep at least once during the broadcast. This is not a criticism. I think the content is great, but Mark, there's something about your voice that I think you should bottle. You must be wonderful with small children at nap time. So anyway, I missed Andorra and the Ruthenians and whatever else was going on. My bad. Well, gee, thanks, Jody. That's like telling a journalist, I really love your stuff every time I'm in the smallest room in the house reading it. Your stuff, the paper it's written on is just so soft and gentle, it really comes in handy. You know, Jody, I mean, hey, I appreciate all your support over the years, but, you know, stay awake, please. If you'd like to comment or ask a question on the forum, go to spielpod.com or send us an email at spielpod@gmail.com. The European Youth Olympic Festival kicked off on the 26th of July with an opening ceremony at the Michal Meskhi Stadium in Tbilisi. The festival is 6 days long, and it's the largest sporting event Georgia has ever hosted. Tbilisi won the bid to host the Games in 2010. Over 3,200 youth athletes from 50 countries are competing in 9 sports, including artistic gymnastics, athletics, basketball, cycling, handball, judo, swimming, tennis, and volleyball. About 65 million lari was spent on the new infrastructure to host the sporting event, according to the chairman of the EYOF 2015 organizing committee, and in total, 79 million lari was spent in preparing and organizing the game since 2012, according to Tbilisi City Hall. There were some mishaps during the opening ceremony.
It was a debacle.
Well, okay, mishaps, debacle. You know, you say potato, I say potato.
The stadium caught fire.
During the opening fireworks, a small empty portion of the stadium briefly caught fire. It had to be extinguished by the firefighters. The Olympic flag was raised upside down. When the final torchbearer placed the torch inside the cauldron, the flame went out. The games were officially declared open by Prime Minister Kharabashvili, with many other officials in attendance. President Margvelashvili was not there. On his official Facebook, he congratulated Georgians on the opening of the games and wished success to the athletes. Facebook users commented on his post asking why he was absent. The chairman of EYOF, Alexei Akhladiani, the well-known English speaker, commented the next day that both the president and prime minister received identical invitations.
Well, no wonder it got confused. It's already Kharabashvili on it. No wonder it didn't come.
Rumors about why President Margvelashvili wasn't at the ceremony was because of the fighting between him and Prime Minister Kharabashvili. As a reminder, last week President Margvelashvili pardoned 74 prisoners. One of those he pardoned was the brother of UNM member Akaki Bobakhidze. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer, we must add, who was a member of, I mean, I don't know about the brother, but certainly Bobakhidze. He was a member of parliament five times and twice served as Imedeti governor. The next day, on the 24th of July, Prime Minister Kharabashvili accused Margvelashvili of being pro-UNM and saying that he was a Nationaluri president, and added sarcastically that he hopes the president pardons Saakashvili, Bachuachalai, Vanometabashvili, and others too. The prisoner who was released, Levon Bobakhidze, worked for the local government in Khoni and was detained in March 2014 for embezzling state-owned property, abuse of power, forgery, and fraud.
I thought the Georgian Dream was all into letting people out of prison. That was their whole, like, election campaign, right? And then that was the first thing they did, is they just let everybody out of prison. And so, you know,
not people that they put in prison.
Oh, right. I see.
Yeah. He was originally sentenced to 7 years in jail, but the sentence was reduced to 3 years and 6 months in accordance with the amnesty law passed in 2012.
There you go. So they cut his sentence.
Right.
Right. And then they released him.
Yeah. Returning back to the games, Ombudsman Nanawashvili pointed out that the European Olympic Youth Olympic Festival did not have the proper infrastructure to accommodate wheelchairs or people with special needs. I don't know whether you went to any of the games. I went to the Belgium Georgia girls basketball game. I was very impressed. The Belgians were draining three pointers like crazy, but the Georgians really, really fought hard. I will say, for me, one of the most notable things is the really small number of people at the girls' events, you know, which is a little bit sad, especially the Georgians.
I don't know anyone that's been to any event.
I think there have been, I mean, the boys' events, there seem to be some. I saw on TV the Latvia game was standing room only, the boys' basketball game, the Latvia-Georgia game. But, you know, when it's in Georgia and it's like the girl, there was maximum, you know, 20% capacity at that game in a not very big stadium. And, I feel like, I mean, come on, for a, you know, home team, I mean, I feel like girls, it said a lot about girls' sports in Georgia, I thought. According to the European Council's webpage, Georgia has officially joined EU sanctions against Russia. On the 19th of June, the EU issued a declaration extending restrictive measures in response to the illegal annexation of Crimea and Sevastopol until June 2016. It says that Montenegro, Albania, Iceland, Liechtenstein, and Norway, together with Ukraine and Georgia, joined the declaration and will ensure that their national policy is in line with the Political Council's decision. No statement yet from Georgian officials.
But there has been a statement from Peskov, Putin's spokesman, who said that there will be consequences for the countries that have joined the EU sanctions.
What, they're going to move the ABL even more? Or
well, like, can't they? I mean, nothing's going to stop them if that's what they choose to do. But yes, there will be severe consequences or serious consequences or something like that. But, I mean, this is what the UNM have been calling on the government to do for ages, and I wonder what it is that has finally led them to do it. There must have been something. They would, you know, this would have been a story that when it was current, what, 6 months ago or even a year ago, and why now? Why have they decided to do it now? What has changed?
maybe the ABL. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, that's a very good question. I mean, is there any transformation in the attitude towards, you know, Russia or what? I don't know.
Does this coincide with Tina Hidashelli's sort of crazy map or bust defense policy?
And getting some air defense, by the way.
And getting some air defense, which, I mean, that's great. That was prepared under her predecessor. But at the same time, this whole map or nothing. We need a map. We're going to get a map. If we don't get a map, it'll be tragic, she just told a German newspaper today. So could this have something
to do with it? Georgia's not going to get a map.
No, I know. Which makes me wonder why she said, I mean, you'd think she would know that too. So why is she deliberately setting herself up for this fall? Why is she, you know, hyping it, ramping it to this extraordinary extent?
I, for one, am glad that Georgia has joined Iceland in the Russian sanctions.
And Liechtenstein. Well, actually, Liechtenstein,
yeah.
Money laundering might be
right,
a really,
exactly.
Really,
I mean, you know, once, but I mean, I look, they go into Mariupol and they pull swift, man. That's what I'm holding out for. Following up on last week's story, the parliament adopted the bill removing banking supervisory functions from the National Bank. Central Bank Chief Georgi Kadagidze said, again criticized the bill, saying on the 28th of July that, quote, it will damage the banking sector and is already damaging investors' attitudes, end quote, which is true, I think.
Of course it's true.
He continued that the bill doesn't even hold water from the technical legal point of view, since there are numerous provisions open to interpretation that it is not in line with the Constitution and with Georgia's association with the EU. I don't know about the EU part, but it's not in line with the Constitution, and I got a feeling that the Constitutional Court will be brought into this. You heard it here first on Tapiopod.com. That the only goal of the bill is to weaken the National Bank and to downgrade the role of the president, which is true. The reason that this is happening is because the president will be able to influence
the next head of it, and that's why they want to do it now, because the president's got another 3 years, whereas Kadagidze's only got another 4 months.
Right.
So you'd think, let's just wait for Kadagidze to go, and then let's find an accommodation with the president. But clearly, relations have broken down to such an extent between the president and the government that there's not even a single banker in the entire country that they could possibly agree upon to take Kadagidze.
Which is a little bit ridiculous, because frankly, Margvelashvili, I mean, in his appointments, I think, to date, has been relatively conciliatory, you know, I mean...
Well, that's indeed true, the head of the Supreme Court, and a bunch of other people, but clearly there's no trust, and as we've seen, you know, this is exactly the same problem that the National Movement had, or mistake that they made, is being recapitulated now. Is the government, under Farabashvili and his patron, just have this monopolizing tendency that there can't be an independent center of power that they can tolerate? Anything that smacks of being a balance of power or an alternate pole, they want to bring under their aegis. And the head of the National Bank is one of the most prominent of those. But even when it comes to awarding prizes, right, you know, which kid at school gets the Rustavelli Prize for essay writing? Even that is now the competency of the Prime Minister. This is a monopolistic, almost like a usurping attitude, which we saw for years under the National Movement, and we're seeing again under the Georgian Dream.
And it's bad. And I agree with you. You know, didn't do Morsi in Egypt so well either. You know,
well, indeed. But did we? I'm not sure. Did you see what the Harabashvili said in response to the critics of the banking bill?
Well, I think we're getting there. It said according to the bill, the president will have no say in the process of nominating and appointing the board members of the new banking supervisory agency. Said that, quote, not a single self-respecting economist can assess the bill positively, end quote. That was Kadivashvili. The bill has not been formally vetoed by the president yet. The president's administration announced that it's working on objections to the bill and is also drafting an alternative bill. The central bank had consultations with the president's office in drafting the objections. A day later, on the 29th of July, Prime Minister Kadivashvili slammed critics of the bill, saying that it's an artificial stir and was created by irresponsible opponents aimed at scaring off investors, which is ridiculous.
Another UNM problem is that critics become traitors. So people that are legitimately criticizing this completely wacky, bad idea of a bill are castigated by the government as deliberately destroying the investment environment, whereas in fact they're being legitimately sensible and indeed patriotic by pointing out this crazy shot in the foot that's about to happen, and they're being derided as treacherous, essentially, by Harabashvili, which is the worst sort of politics.
Amen, brother. He continued that, this is Harabashvili, quote, All the remarks from the EU and international financial institutions were taken into consideration fully, end quote, in the process of drafting the bill, and so he cannot see any basis for a stir, which is not true.
Yeah, it's really not true. And yeah. So today, he met with the IMF representative here, whose name temporarily escapes me, a guy in a nice red tie. And anyway, he said they had a big meeting today. There was some really awkward photos from the meeting where Haravashvili had the biggest smile.
What kind of awkward photos, Will?
They were sitting across the table, and the IMF guy looks quite businesslike, and Haravashvili has a ridiculous smile from ear to ear on his face that I guess is trying to emphasize their close cooperation and friendly terms, but just really looks like he's got the wrong Botox shot. But anyway, so after this meeting took place, the IMF guy came out and said with the characteristic diplomacy that, you know, we appreciate that this ongoing cooperation and that they've done a lot to put some of our concerns in the bill, but still many things remain questionable that we would like to see. And Haravashvili has completely ignored that. And so apparently, you know, this guy is a traitor to Georgia or whatever.
All right. Group of eight European Parliament members from the Committee on Foreign Affairs visited Georgia from the 23rd to the 25th of July. They met with President Mark Balashvili, Prime Minister Khatabashvili, the deputy foreign ministers, as well as representatives of the parliamentary opposition parties, UNM and Free Democrats. They also visited former Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava in prison, as well as the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. They commented that Georgia should be granted an EU waiver in 2016 once the relevant criteria, or visa waiver, once the relevant criteria are fulfilled. They also reiterated their position that the justice system should be free of political motivation. The same day the European delegation visited the South Ossetian border, on Saturday the 25th of July, the Russian border guards detained a 48-year-old man in the village of Khurvaleti for, quote, violating the border. Locals claim he was detained in his own garden. The man was released on the 28th of July after paying a 200-ruble fine, which is about $33. He was sent back across the border at Ergneti. So mature. Russia's permanent representative to NATO, Alexander Grushko, told Russian TV channel Life News that NATO expanding to Georgia and Ukraine would have the most serious consequences for entire Europe. Whatever. The report on Imedi TV on the 26th of July about the virginity of a young bride has everyone talking and angry and has revived discussions on low journalistic ethics in Georgia. Story is that a village somewhere in Samegrelo, a 19-year-old bride was kicked out of the house by her husband's family, and her 34-year-old husband was beating her, allegedly because she wasn't a virgin. The TV report didn't have any ethics of privacy or concern for the victim's psychological health. They showed her lying on the bed unconscious with doctors and with bruises on her face. Shows the bedroom, quote, where everything happened, end quote, delves into details about their sex life, talks to the neighbors about intimate details. They go into a random sports field and ask young boys if they would marry a girl who wasn't a virgin, and all the boys respond no. Women's rights activists are saying that this portrays women as products, such as the groom's family saying that she is defective, her family saying that she was good. The media monitoring group Media Checker also points out that the husband in the story, who is in jail, names him as a criminal, but in reality, he hasn't been tried yet in court. Public defender Nanawashvili said that the report violates the right to privacy, especially when concerning a victim of abuse, and calls on journalists to be more careful while reporting on these issues, and also said that they have an important role in changing public consciousness, such as on issues of gender stereotyping and discrimination.
Well, I mean, Imedi have form on this, having done the fake war thing back in 2009 and various other stunts over the years. It's what you expect to see from Imedi.
Yeah, let's hope they get better. According to new U.S. State Department trafficking in persons report, despite it's making significant efforts, the Georgian government does not fully comply with the minimum standards for the elimination of trafficking. As a result, Georgia remains in Tier 2, where it was relegated in 2012. It was previously in Tier 1 for 6 years. The tiers indicate that a government undertakes efforts to address human trafficking and meets the minimum standards for the elimination of trafficking. The report describes Georgia as a source, transit, and destination country for women and girls subjected to sex trafficking and men, women, and children subjected to forced labor. On the positive side, investigations, prosecutions, prosecutions and convictions in trafficking-related cases increased in 2014 compared to 2013. The report also notes that there was an increase in the number of anti-trafficking mobile units, but says also that their limited investigative capabilities hampered trafficking investigations, noting that there was a lack of well-trained female investigators to interview sex trafficking victims. The report also looks at street begging and notes that Georgian, Romani, and Kurdish children are subjected to forced begging or coercion into criminality, and that the government did not outline a strategy to systemically combat street begging. There were reports last week of the border with Armenia shifting 10 hectares further into Georgia near the village of Sazakindi. Locals say that Armenian guards moved a military station 10 hectares in, creating a new border delineation. 10 hectares, I mean, we're talking about an area, not a distance, so it probably wasn't more than a few meters. Foreign Ministry spokesman Dato Kereselidze explained that the border has not actually been relocated, that during Soviet times there was an administrative border, but people were able to move freely in it, but now they're not letting Georgians pass the line, so it's only an illusion that the border moved. And he said,
sounds like exactly that the border moved. They used to be able to move there, and now there's an Armenian military post. It really does sound like the border's moved.
Yeah, I have no information other than this. He said it's only 10 minutes further, not 10 hectares as rumored. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't been there. On the 30th of July, President Margvelashvili appointed new ambassador to Cuba, Mexico, and Portugal. Georgi Nikolaishvili, who served as the head of the political department at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, will become Georgia's first ambassador in Cuba. Previously, the Georgian embassy in Washington and then the embassy in Mexico covered Cuba. Nikolaishvili will take the office from mid-September. Former ambassador to Jordan, Zuda Eristavi, will take the ambassadorial post to Mexico starting next month. Former ambassador to Japan, Rezo Beshidze, will take the ambassadorial post to Portugal starting January 2016. Group of six Iranian lawmakers are visiting Georgia from the 29th of July to the 3rd of August. They said it is to observe Georgia's reforms that helped the ease of doing business in the country. They want to learn about customs procedures, business registration procedures, and procedures related to obtaining identification documents. On the 29th of July, they met with Parliamentary Vice Speaker Gubaz Sanakidze, who, as we know, is not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but seems to have a good attitude on Iran.
Yeah, he seems to be, actually, having been a complete figure of fun and famously been secretly recorded before the 2012 elections going, I just want to be a millionaire, I'm not interested in politics, and also making rude statements about Ivanishvili and so on. He seems to be actually one of the very few parliamentarians of any party that's actually doing a good job. He's the head of this Iranian-Georgian friendship group, and this is not the first delegation of Iranians he's brought here. He's been to Iran himself several times. So, actually, I find myself, you know, shocked to be saying this, but good for Gubaz.
Good for Gubaz. Good for Gubaz. The group will visit the Public Service Hall and a customs and border crossing point, and will have meetings with the Economy Ministry. Armenian Prime Minister Hovik Abramyan visited earlier this week. On the 25th of July, he visited Zemo-Larsi-Kazbegi border crossing between Georgia and Russia. It's the only land link between Russia and Armenia. He also attended the opening ceremony of the European Youth Olympic Festival in Tbilisi on the 26th. Bidzina Ivanishvili is donating 1 million lari to cover the cost of treatment for wounded Georgian servicemen. It was announced by the defense minister, Tiniko Khidasheli, on the 29th of July. She explained that BI wanted to fund the ongoing medical treatment for Corporal Ramaz Davitaya, who was critically injured in Afghanistan several years ago and who recently died of his injuries. She said that she personally asked BI to cover Davitaya's treatment, which cost about 1 million lari. She also reported that one wounded soldier has already been sent to Turkey for medical treatment with BI's help. Government currently pays for the treatment of wounded soldiers. According to the 2015 budget, the military hospital received 15 million lari, but that also has to cover other expenses. Khidasheli also said that the defense ministry is working on several projects with BI's Kartu fund and that they want to upgrade the army canteens and need money for it, so she asked Kartu fund for support, which is very nice of Ivanishvili to do that. It is a little bit strange, considering the amount of soldiers that Georgia has fighting in different places, that there needs to be special assistance to help with their medical issues when they have done that. But, you know, all right,
most of them, I thought, were being looked after by the United States military. There's a whole bunch of them being rehabilitated in some special facility in America, I think.
Could be. So, I don't know. That's news. I have no idea.
It sort of smacks of publicity stunt, but...
Following up on last week's story on the electricity price hike, Prime Minister Ghadabashvili announced on TV on the 24th of July that the government will allocate 20 million lari annually to subsidize the increased electricity tariff for socially vulnerable families. The subsidies will apply to over 200,000 households. Over 1 million customers of Energo Pro, Georgia Power Distributor Company, will see electricity tariffs increase by 3.95 tetri per kilowatt starting from the 1st of August. Energo Pro distributes electricity in the regions except for Cajeti. Tbilisi-based electricity distributor Telasi has also filed a request to the Energy and Water Supply Regulatory Commission asking for a tariff increase for its customers. A regulator has yet to rule on the company's request. Georgia's electricity rate was last revised in January 2013 when the tariff for some categories of households were reduced, which was one of Georgian Dream's pre-election campaign promises. You know what I'd like to know about? I wonder if anybody's looking into this, is what the story is with the server farms in Gori that are mining bitcoins that are getting a whole lot of electricity. But let's see if we can ever find anything out about that.
Well, I mean, don't you think the real story is the Georgian government making the rod for its own back by having made such a huge song and dance of reducing the tariffs only to see them go up, especially after having said that the devaluation of the lari was not going to have any really significant effects on your average Georgian's pocket, whereas here you go, because the energy companies need to buy gas in dollars, they need to increase their rates in lari, which is going to hurt everybody. It's 20% effectively for many consumers. That's a huge amount of money. And in fact, the electricity companies do need it, because otherwise they'll be rolling blackouts, like back in Shevardnadze times, and that is something that I'm sure the current government don't want to go to.
Well, after the elections, you know.
Well, no, but I'm sorry, the elections don't come until a year, or more than a year away. If there's rolling blackouts, it'll be in November and December when the water levels go down in the hydropower plants. So that's when we watch out for the power.
Yep, just ask the South African about load shedding, so and Nigeria, too, they're now dealing with that. So let's hope it doesn't come here. In an interview with Radio Free Europe in Prague, Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli asked the Ukrainian government to explain whether they take responsibility for Misha's statements against the current Georgian government and whether these statements are the official position of Ukraine or the individual opinion of the psychologically abnormal governor. She ranted that we cannot waste time and energy on contacting people who cannot understand all of Misha's crimes. And and that she includes Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko among these people that they cannot give time and energy to. Following up on donations to help victims of the 13th of June flood, British band Placebo, which recently played at the Tbilisi Open Air Festival, donated about $40,000 to the Indiegogo campaign. As a reminder, a few days after the flood, Placebo's singer posted a photo on his Instagram.
Placebo's bassist.
Sorry, Placebo's bassist posted a photo
and guitar player
on his Instagram of the hippo wandering the streets in Tbilisi, saying that they couldn't wait to join the circus. People were upset, saying the flood wasn't a joke, and posted comments, and he took down the photo and apologized at the press conference before their performance in Tbilisi. The band members said that they will give all the money they get from playing at the Tbilisi Open Air Festival to the victims of the flood, which is very nice.
Good for Placebo.
Are they, like, famous and good? I don't really
They're
know.
They're very famous.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that means nothing because I don't know anybody. Spain ratified the association agreement between EU and Georgia. It was first ratified by Spain's Congress in April, then by the Senate in May, and then signed by King Felipe VI on the 28th of July. That's awesome. They had a king sign the association agreement. Wait, is he still king? I thought he resigned.
Or, yeah, he's still king.
He's still king? I thought Felipe was showing
up. No, it's Juan Carlos who resigned.
Oh, right. Felipe the VI, right, and Juan Carlos resigned. Yeah, yeah, got it. Okay.
Abdicated,
or yeah, because in a storm of yes. According to the Ministry of Internal Affairs, the crime rate is dropping.
Oh, it's dropping. It's amazing.
according to their data, there was a 4.93%. There was 4.3% less crime committed in the first 6 months of 2015 compared to the same period of 2014, but that was largely parking tickets.
We're going to have to minus crimes. We're going to be watching broken windows fix themselves. It's going to be incredible.
The Ministry of Internal Affairs and the FBI signed an agreement on cooperation investigating criminal cases.
Why bother? There's none to investigate.
Okay. Well, it's actually the prosecutors, the guys who need the help, not Ministry of Internal Affairs. Same thing, or not yet. The cooperation will cover detection of accused and criminal fingerprints identification, data exchange in the fields of arrest, detention, release before the topics of release before trial. prosecution, judgment, supervision, and rehabilitation of criminals, as well as the fight against terrorism and crime prevention. United States government, through the Millennium Challenge Corporation, will allocate $12 million to professional development programs in Georgia. The funding will go to creating new vocational education programs. It will also develop already existing projects for the Industry-Led Skills and Workforce Development Project, which was a project of the Millennium Challenge Corporation and the Ministry of Education. The grant competition has already been announced and is open to all public or private technical vocational education and training providers and companies, educational establishments such as universities and public or private schools, professional organizations, and NGOs. Tennis player Nicolas Basilashvili is now among the world's best 100 singles players after winning the Hague Open, defeating Andrei Kuznetsov of Russia. Combined with his recent success at Wimbledon, Basilashvili jumped 28 places in the world ranking, up to the 90th place. Maladets, Nicolas. Ministry of Justice opened a new public service hall in Poti. It's the 14th public service hall in Georgia. There was a big ceremony with a speech by Justice Minister Taylor Sulukiani, theatrical performances, musical shows, a drumming act, and colorful smoke fireworks. Ministry of Justice says it plans...
Did it catch fire?
No. Okay. No. Ministry of Justice says it plans to open 6 more justice houses in the town of Kazbegi, Tianeti, Borjomi, Lagodechi, Achalkalaki, and Mscheta. Under the government initiative, Film in Georgia, there will be tax incentives for international filmmakers who create projects in Georgia with up to 22% rebate on production costs. The state will cover straight up 20% of qualifying expenses for producers, with an additional 2% for including local cast or promoting Georgian culture. The program is set to start in January 2016. The rebate will cover productions that involve at least $300,000 or $150,000 for documentaries. The production costs that spend at least 3 days shooting in Georgia. The financial support is open to feature films, TV series, animation, and documentary film projects. Thank you, Thomas. On the 26th of July, a 15-year-old boy was killed when he was hit by a car driven by a Polish member of the EU delegation to Georgia in a village about 30 kilometers north of Tbilisi. The man stayed at the scene and helped with the police. The EU delegation released a letter of condolences to the family.
Did you hear what else happened?
No.
So apparently, reportedly, according to one witness, Mark Belashvili was on the scene, like there at the time, and tried to revive the dying teen.
Huh.
President Margulishvili. It's been in the papers. Whether it's true or not, I don't know.
Wow. Well, very sorry for the family, and good job on you, Georgi, if that indeed happened. Georgia celebrated Vaja Oba on the 25th of July in honor of the 19th century poet Vajapshavela. 2015 marked the 100th anniversary of Vajapshavela's death. The festival was in Vaja's native village of Chatagali in the mountainous Pshavi province of eastern Georgia. There were cultural and sporting events, arm wrestling, and Georgian martial arts. At the festival, Prime Minister Kharibashvili announced that they plan to create a Vajapshavela state reward for literature. By the way, if you would like to read Vajapshavela, he is very beautifully and ably translated by Donald Rayfield. Check that out. You can find it. On the 20th of July, World Hepatitis Day, the Health Ministry encouraged people all over the regions to visit a medical center and get tested for hepatitis C for free. The free hepatitis testing is open until the 10th of August. This is really important, and a really important initiative by the Health Ministry, this hepatitis C testing and treatment. Online hotel booking website Booking.com opened an office in Tbilisi and has planned to start operating from September. The Georgian national basketball team has officially started preparations for the European Basketball Championship, which will be held in Croatia from the 5th to the 20th of September. They're in Slovakia for training. Euro Basket Cup was in Tbilisi for the first time about 2 weeks ago for a Euro Basket 2015 trophy tour. UEFA Super Cups are also on the tour in Georgia. There are 3 cups, the Super Cup, Champions League Cup, and Europe League Cup. They were also brought and displayed in front of the barbed wire of the ABL with South Ossetia. A South African woman was arrested after she was caught carrying about 100 kilos of marijuana entering Georgia from Qatar at Tbilisi Airport. A Georgian man was arrested in Bulgaria by... Sorry, did I say 100 kilos?
Mm-hmm.
10 kilos.
Okay.
100 kilos in suitcases, that'd be a little rough. Sorry about that. 10 kilos. A Georgian man was arrested in Bulgaria by Tbilisi and Sofia Bureau Interpol agents. He's been wanted in Georgia since 2009 for attempted murder and will be extradited to Georgia. There was a fire on the 28th of July that burned 4 to 5 hectares of land in Lotkini settlement in Tbilisi near Tbilisi Sea. It was extinguished by 5 fire brigades and 2 rescue teams. Tbilisi City Hall and Tbilisi City Council announced that annual property tax rates for sporting venues in Tbilisi will decrease 1,000 times. They dropped the annual property tax rate from 1% to 0.001% until the 1st of January 2017.
Whatever that means.
Right. There's a new Frick's chips factory outside of Tbilisi that is producing Frick's chips using local Georgian products. It was constructed with a 4 million lari investment from Swedish businessman and philanthropist Jean-Frédéric Paulsen, who reportedly also lives in Georgia.
Never met him.
Never met him, never heard of this guy, but that's kind of cool. Mountain Resorts Development Company and National Tourism Administration are working with the company Alliance of Slovenia on constructing bike trails at the Gudauri Ski Resort to offer summer attractions. It is allegedly scheduled to be ready for the 9th of August. Bit late for summer activities, but let's hope it happens. You know, all right, let's see. In parliamentary news, on the 24th of July, Parliament adopted a Georgian Dream proposed resolution condemning Russia's provocative and aggressive actions, putting up new demarcation signposts along the administrative boundary with South Ossetia. In a separate vote on the same day, Georgian Dream parliamentary majority group rejected a draft resolution on the same issue proposed by UNM lawmakers. One provision of the UNM draft called on the government to scrap the Abashidze-Karasin talks format with Moscow, which serves as an informal direct dialogue between the two countries. There were heated debates on the rival drafts in the parliamentary session, with the UNM accusing Georgian Dream of having capitulant policies. Is that a word? Capitulant policies towards Russia and the Georgia, but it sounds kind of good.
Capitulatory, capitulicious.
The Georgian Dream blamed the UNM for pursuing reckless policies while in power and yielding to Russia's provocations resulting in the August 2008 war. Kind of true. While on the 24th of July, Parliament passed with its first reading a bill introducing a new rule for selecting and electing the chief prosecutor for a non-renewable 6-year term. The change was proposed by the Justice Ministry. Deputy Justice Minister Alexander Baramidze explains that it will replace the current simple but non-transparent procedure where it is the Prime Minister who appoints and dismisses the general prosecutor upon the nomination of the Minister of Justice. The bill has yet to be adopted with its second and third readings. It envisages more complicated procedures for electing the chief prosecutor. The initial bill was revised after the Council of Europe Advisory Body for Legal Affairs, otherwise known as the Venice Commission, unveiled its preliminary opinion on it earlier this month. Most of the recommendations from the Venice Commission are reflected in the revised bill, except that the government still has a strong role in the process of nominating the candidate for the chief prosecutor.
Yeah, so most of the recommendations except the main recommendation.
Exactly. Which, you know, happens sometimes. Certainly the UNM would always do that as well. The bill envisages setting up a prosecutorial council, which the Venice Commission welcomes as a step towards depoliticization of the prosecutor's office. The 15-seat prosecutorial council will be chaired by the Justice Minister, who will be an ex officio member. 8 seats in the council will go to the prosecutors elected by the Conference of Prosecutors.
Which is also going to be invented.
Right. A new body also envisaged by the bill. 2 seats will be allocated to parliamentary members, 1 from the parliamentary majority, 1 not. 2 seats will go to the judge selected by the High Council of Justice. The 2 remaining members of the prosecutorial council should be from civil society and academic circles, elected by parliament with a simple majority. A selection of the candidate for the chief prosecutor starts with the Justice Ministry holding consultations with representatives of civil society and academic circles.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? And yeah, nothing for the, by the way, elected president. The Justice Minister then nominates 3 candidates. The prosecutorial council has to endorse 1 with a 2-thirds majority vote. In case of a deadlock, the Justice Minister will have to name the new candidates. After a candidate is endorsed by the prosecutorial council, the nomination goes to the government, which has the power to block the nomination. And in that case, the process for selecting new candidates restarts. If the nomination is endorsed by the government, the candidate will then face parliamentary confirmation. The Venice Commission said in its recommendations that the procedure for appointing the chief prosecutor involves too many decision-making bodies, and it is unclear why the government which the Minister of Justice is a part of, would need to accept a candidate who has already been nominated by the minister and approved by the prosecutorial counsel? A reasonable question. The Venice Commission advised that the influence of the government parliamentary majority be reduced. They recommended electing the chief prosecutor by a qualified majority of votes in parliament, but in the sitting parliament, lawmakers are usually deadlocked when it comes to needing a two-third majority. That is the support of at least 100 lawmakers, since the ruling majority holds 87 seats. The Venice Commission says that one possible solution would be to involve different institutional actors in the process if there is a deadlock. Such actors might be a chair of the Constitutional Court or another neutral figure or body who would then have the final say. The Venice Commission also noted that the election of the chief prosecutor by a qualified majority of MPs may not be needed if the prosecutorial council has the necessary independence to avoid too much political interference. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Zubashvili said that he would ask the Venice Commission to again review the revised bill after it was passed with its first reading. Lawmakers from the opposition UNM and Free Democrats parties refused to support the bill, arguing that the proposal will not secure the depoliticization of the prosecutor's office. The opposition lawmakers are calling for introducing the president in the process of nominating the chief prosecutor, as it was pledged by the Georgian Dream Coalition in its pre-election campaign. They also call for removing the prosecutor's office from the government since it's part of the Justice Ministry. The bill is likely to be further amended during the second reading, which is expected in Parliament's autumn session. The government was reportedly in a hurry to have the bill adopted with its first reading since reforming the prosecutor's office is part of Georgia's commitments undertaken under the Visa Liberalization Action Plan, or VLAP, with the EU. So, listen, I'm sorry to go through so much text on the details of that, but it's very, very important. This really is an important issue. The prosecutors are, as they were under Shevardnadze, as they were under Misha, at the very heart of the political control of everything in this country. And the government needs to do this in order to get visa free and is fighting very, very hard to keep as much political control or governmental control as it can have over this office rather than having it be independent. I would encourage the EU to have informal discussions about what it will and will not accept related to an independent prosecutor's office. The meme this week is a photo of the German flag hung upside down by an official during an official meeting with Defense Minister Tina Chidashelli and the new German ambassador, and also, as previously mentioned, the Olympic flag hung upside down during the opening ceremony of the European Youth Olympic Festival, and finally, the opening speech at the Games, the chairman of the Tbilisi 2015 EYOF committee, in which he was made fun of for speaking English badly. Agenda.ge profiles Georgian musical genius Botso Korishelli, who recently died at 93. He was a music teacher in California, started the San Luis Obispo symphony, and was just allegedly, there's been a lot written about him, and was just allegedly a really impressive, wonderful guy with an enormous influence over generations of musicians, many of whom became quite famous. Another bit for Corricelli from the San Luis Obispo, California newspaper, where he lived and died, about his legacy in the community. Tournike Sharashanidze for ECFR looks at the Russian soft power in Georgia since 2012. Democracy and Freedom Watch looks at the daily life on the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. Paul Rimpel covers Russia's land grab for Beacon Reader and calls on Georgia's Western allies to show some spine for a change. For a fun and funny read, Georgi Lomsadze of Eurasianet covers the EBRD sexy scandal from last week. On that note, Georgian Journal has a list of the dumbest things Georgian politicians have said. And CRC's blog this week looks at the self-perception of employment opportunities in Armenia and Georgia. All that stuff's on our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 81%. This is how much the percentage is above normal dust levels are in Tbilisi, according to the 2015 pollution analysis by the National Environment Agency. The head of the National Environment Agency, Tamar Bagratia, says that the same dust levels are seen in Kutaisi and Rustavi. Japan is helping with monitoring. As a reminder, Anakli is hosting the electronic music festival Gem Fest from the 31st of July to the 7th of August. It'll feature world-famous Dutch DJ Armin van Buuren. The organizers recently announced that every person living in Abkhazia will be able to attend the festival for free. For more information about the lineup, accommodation, and tickets, visit the official site at gemfest.com. Rustavi will host International Dance Music Festival Global Gathering this September. Fatboy Slim, oh cool, will be the main headliner. I know of him. It will be, shut up, Will. It will be on the 11th of September at Rustavi International Motor Park. Go to globalgathering.com for more information. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And in honor of Will Dunbar's Britishness, we'll finish with, from 2012, Disraeli and the Small Gods, Never Mind.
With a slight limp, it's not a G thing rather than my ankling. A bit thrown like the dice in the I Ching. I'm not sleeping while my head is tangling. I need an aspirin, brother, I need a Saturday. A cup of tea to drink, possibly a Jaffa cake. Or just an evening alone, I've had a manic day. It's been an age since I was chilled enough to master. Baby, come here, I love you, my stinky tip. You can help me with my problem, come to think of it. Rinky dink, sugar plum, twinkle clit. I never mean stinky tits. Sorry, I've been a thing. Sorry, sorry. Was worse than dreadful. It's my stress levels, it's my work schedule. But my desk kept full of birds, unsettled, unearthed. I'm dizzy, I'm in effect, I'm ineffectual. But come on.
Never mind, it doesn't matter what you look like. All that matters is you dance, cause it's a very, very short life. Never mind, it doesn't matter what you look like. All that matters is you dance, cause it's a very, very short life.
With the sock on his doodah.
It's a wonderful night for the moon dance.
Cherubim serenade us on a sketchy tune. Heart, Venus, play the bass, spring strung between two stars. Jesus levitates on a fungus of blue hearts. And Sarah Palin's abducted in Utah.
Pardon?
I said welcome to the pterodome. Never give acid to a man with the megaphone. He will get frantic and then he won't let it go. If you've ever seen a rapper's head explode. And when the crowd dies, I hope that they've been entertained and found me useful. Like safety information on a train, because to be truthful, I crave just a little taste of fame, then it hits me. Ego is a waste of brains.
Never mind, it doesn't matter what you look like. All that matters is you dance, because it's a very, very short life. Never mind, it doesn't matter what you look like. All that matters is you dance, because it's a very, very short life.